Welcome back to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. I am Pamela Ferguson, and I'm joined in this conversation with my beloved Sisters in Christ, Vanessa Rule and Tamara Evans. Welcome, sisters.
It's good to be here.
Thank you, Pam.
Vanessa and Tamara, have you ever noticed that it's much easier to build a reputation than to build character? See, a reputation is what people see. Character is who we are when no one else is watching. And in today's world, we are constantly encouraged to manage our image, to post the best moments, present our best selves, and seek approval from others. But Proverbs chapter 20 shifts our attention away from appearances and towards something much more deeper. Integrity, patience, honesty, and self-awareness. This chapter reminds us that wisdom isn't measured by how impressive we appear, but how faithfully we live. It also challenges us to think about the decisions we make when no one is applauding, because those quiet decisions often reveal the true condition of our hearts. So it's that time now. Go get your coffee, get your tea, get your water, whatever your favorite drink, and join Tamara, Vanessa, and I as we study Proverbs chapter 20 and allow God to examine not just what we do, but who we are becoming. Welcome again, ladies.
Thanks, Pam. Good to be back.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So we are looking at Proverbs chapter 20. And we're going to start with Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. And it reads, "Even small children are known by their actions. So is their conduct really pure and upright?" Character, Vanessa and Tamara, is not something we build in the spotlight, but it's revealed in our everyday life. And people tend to remember our biggest moments, but God is also watching our daily faithfulness, what we do. Mm-hmm. What do our everyday choices reveal about who we are becoming?
Our daily decisions, the little things that we do lead to actions, and our actions form habits, and our habits is what build character. Mm-hmm. What we do daily and consistently determines who we become. Mm-hmm. If we are honest and kind and thoughtful as a habit, then we become upstanding persons. If we lie, cheat, or steal, or are dishonest, that's who we become. Giving you an example. If when we go to make an application or fill out insurance forms on a daily basis, and we answer yes, 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 yes to all of the questions, and we say, they ain't got to know that. Mm-hmm. I ain't got to know for that. Mm-hmm. I ain't got to explain myself. And so we defraud the insurance company because we ain't want to tell them the whole truth. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we're in those little pressure moments when the questionnaire says yes or no. We answer in the way we know, well, I can get this insurance if I answer this way. So we're defrauding our neighbor. That's a small thing. Mm-hmm. And we do it on application forms. We do it on our customs declarations. Mm-hmm. It's dishonest in little things, but it adds up to showing who our character is. After a while, we become dishonest people. Mm-hmm. And our society, we have a problem with that. We look out for ourselves, mm-hmm, as opposed to doing the right thing when no one is watching.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Character is revealed in other words, in the everyday patterns mm-hmm. of our life. Mm-hmm. And Jesus teaches that our words and actions flow from what is within us. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. He says in Matthew 12:34. So therefore, our everyday choices are not spiritually insignificant. And that's what I'm hearing from Vanessa. Mm-hmm. How we respond mm-hmm. when we're irritated. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How we treat someone who mm-hmm. can do nothing for us. Right. Mm-hmm. How we behave when nobody is watching. Mm-hmm. And whether we are faithful to fulfill the small responsibilities can expose what is ruling mm-hmm. our hearts. So I totally agree with Vanessa. And the reality is we do not transform ourselves.
Right.
When we realize that we are the type of person who struggles with these things, we can't just develop better habits mm-hmm. to make ourselves better, because by nature we're sinful beings. Mm-hmm. And what you've explained, Vanessa, in those insurance documents, filling them out and how we respond to those things tells us that we sometimes, like Paul says, sometimes I want to do good, mm-hmm. but yet evil is always present. So there's a mm-hmm. sin problem. Mm-hmm. And because of sin, our hearts require regeneration.
Mm-hmm. And I like that you both said the little things. You know, in Luke 16, Jesus taught about being faithful in the little things. If you are faithful with the little things, and like you mentioned, filling out those forms, Tamara, you mentioned how you treat people, mm-hmm. How we react to certain things when it does not go our way. These are the little things. And if we are faithful with the little things, then God said we will be faithful with the bigger things and those everyday moments. And I think it's also important when we talk about character and what this scripture, Proverbs chapter 20, is saying, that even a child is known by their ways. We have to be careful and understand that somebody is always learning from us.
Yes.
Somebody is always learning from us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 said, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." It is so important when we build character in private that when we live our lives, we live our lives unto God, because people are watching us. It could be our children. It could be co-workers, friends, and even strangers that are looking at us. So it's so important for us to let our light shine and live a light, because we don't know who is watching us. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to discourage anybody from coming to Christ.
Right.
When we look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22, it talks about not paying persons back for the wrong that they may have done. And we know we are humans. If someone did something to us, our instinct is to often make things right ourselves. We have to fix this matter. You did wrong to me, then I got to repay that favor. Why, Tamara and Vanessa, is it so difficult to leave justice in God's hands?
I think at the heart of our desire is to revenge. Mm. And we often struggle with trusting the sovereignty of God and the justice of God. So when someone wrongs us, we naturally want the matter corrected right away. Mm-hmm. You know, we want that immediate punishment. And that, again, goes back to our fallen nature. Mm-hmm. Righteousness and justice, we often confuse. And then when it's in our own hands, it becomes revenge and it becomes sinful. Mm-hmm. But when it's in God's hands, it's done in a way that will, and oftentimes if we look back at it, we couldn't do it the way God do it anyway.
No.
And so we should leave it in the hands of God to correct and to justly and with mercy revenge or act on our behalf when we are grieved. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, Romans 12, 19 says, vengeance is mine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will repay, saith the Lord. So God is not asking us to pretend that evil is acceptable. It is not. Rather, he's reminding us that he alone
yes.
is the perfectly righteous judge.
Yeah.
And so we see only part of the situation. God sees the heart, the motives, the circumstances, and the entire story.
Yeah.
So we can trust him with it.
And Tamara, trusting God doesn't mean we pretend that we are not hurt by what has happened. We are humans and we hurt. When you turn that over to God, it doesn't mean you don't feel pain, but you are trusting that he is better able to deal with this situation than you are.
You know, God is patient and long-suffering, mm-hmm. and often he takes his time in bringing offenders to justice, mm-hmm. and we don't like that, mm-hmm. but he is merciful in giving the offender time to repent, mm-hmm. and sometimes we don't want that offender mm-hmm. to have that mercy, but that is who God is. He's going to give the offender time to correct himself and perhaps even come and repent to you, mm-hmm. Depending on how God is dealing with him.
Mm-hmm. And you know, here the Lord is requiring us to forgive those who have offended us or done us wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important distinction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Forgiving someone does not mean that the consequences of their actions will disappear mm-hmm. and that you should immediately trust them. That's mm-hmm. very important.
Yep.
We can forgive mm-hmm. and be wise about how we re-engage mm-hmm. with the offender.
Mm-hmm. Remember Jonah?
Mm-hmm.
When he was trying to get away from going to Nineveh, and then when he finally went, and then God changed his mind, he was upset. He said, "This is evil people, and I came all of this way for you to change your mind on these people." And sometimes that's how we act. We want to hold on to bitterness and the hurt and use it against the other person. But God is calling us to forgiveness. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32, it reads, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave." See, forgiveness wouldn't necessarily restore that trust, but it frees our heart from carrying that weight of resentment mm-hmm. around. And unforgiveness can make you sick. Yes. Imagine holding on to something. And sometimes you are so upset or you are so displeased with that person who probably didn't even realize they hurt you.
True, right.
Or who probably don't even care. Holding on to unforgiveness does not hurt the person who offended you. It hurts you. And that's why it's so important to turn it over to God. And it's not an easy thing, but we practice those habits and we learn and we go to God and say to him, "I don't want to feel this way. Remove mm-hmm. it, God." Mm-hmm. And it may not happen the next day or even the next week. But once we continue to turn it over to him, one day we'll look back and say, "Wow, I don't remember that anymore like that." Or it's mm-hmm. not as hurtful when it comes up. And I also believe, sisters, that it is difficult sometimes for us to leave justice to God and want to take it into our own hands because we don't want to wait on him.
Mm-hmm.
Patience is not an easy trait.
Mm-hmm.
We get anxious. We get anxious and sometimes we want to take matters, like we said, into our own hands. But God's justice is not necessarily immediate. His timing, though, is always
perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to rest in his perfect timing
mm-hmm.
and use that time when we are hurt, like I mentioned, to just turn it over to him and trust him to work it out
mm-hmm.
because we could never, ever work it out the way he can. Yeah. But we have to learn to trust him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 reads, "The human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's innermost being." We talked about how God wants to transform us. And I really believe he wants to transform us from the inside out. And I'm a believer, and I've believed this from my young adult life, that Pam, you do your own self-assessment. Nobody can tell me anything truthful about myself that I don't know, because I look inward and I go to God and I present whatever I feel that is not in line to him. It's so important for us to examine ourselves before God. But why, Tamara and Vanessa, you feel that self-examination is an important part of spiritual growth?
Well, self-examination is important for yourself to become more intimate with the Lord. If you are truly going to be honest with God, you have to be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Mm-hmm. Test me and know my anxious thought."
Mm-hmm.
If you want intimacy and close fellowship with God, you would pray that kind of prayer, "Search mm-hmm. me." And you would ask him, you would go, like you said, you would daily have your moments of confession
mm-hmm.
and reflection, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal yourself to you. If you're not honest enough to figure it out, say, "Holy Spirit, show me, you know, point out to me what I'm really like." Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit, he definitely will
mm-hmm.
touch those things that we deny, you know, those things that we don't want to recognize. He will bring them up to us. If we ask him like David did, mm-hmm. "Search me," he will try you and he will show you.
I was just thinking, as Vanessa was talking about the heart, over the past few weeks, one of my pastors was preaching on Colossians 3, and he went through relationship with the spouse, your husband, the wife, parent, children, community, workplace, so forth. And I went to another church and basically heard the same message.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just running through my heart, my heart's condition as a wife,
mm-hmm.
and wondering where I'm falling short. And so just recently my husband was praying, and, you know, he was kind of like wavering in the prayer. "You know, Lord, if it be so," I jump in and I finish it. "No, this would be what? This would be doing this, you know, if it, this, right, this is you what? Make the request?
No."
Right? And after I do that, man, the Spirit tear me up.
Uh-huh.
He said, "That's it right there."
Right.
He was praying before the throne of God.
And you jump in
to fix something. Mm-hmm. Instead of you allow the Spirit mm-hmm. to work that prayer out and finish it. And guess what? He didn't say nothing else after I said that. I had the next morning. I apologize.
You have to apologize.
I should have never. I said, "How dare I go before the Holy Spirit and interject before the man of God prayers?" I said, "Lord, my heart wasn't in the right place. I always could fix him in prayer." Lord, I get beat up. I still get beat up over that. I should, but I just saying that our heart is a serious thing.
Yeah.
And we need to examine it. The Word of God and His Holy Spirit is where we go to. Is when we have that self-examination, it's not to condemn
yes.
us.
Mm-hmm.
It's to expose the truth of God's
mm-hmm.
Word.
Mm-hmm.
His Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my mm-hmm. path. Mm-hmm. We just have to be real, because we're full of ourselves.
Yes.
We are full of ourselves, and we tell ourselves what we want to hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Tamara, honest reflection, it helps us to stay in tune with God and keeps us from drifting.
Yes.
Right? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith." Test yourself. God is asking us
in your private, in your personal time, go mm-hmm. and examine yourself. And when we are honest to examine ourselves, it helps us to grow yes. in Christ. Because, you know, sometimes life can get so busy. You know, yeah. off air, we were talking about how we were in this ministry or that ministry. And I told you I don't work in church ministry at this point.
You need to get back to it.
Because sometimes, right, we are so active, but we are still growing apart from Christ mm-hmm. because our focus is on the wrong things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? I was struggling with that over the past few weeks, Pam and Vanessa, because sometimes God has you in various spheres and it's difficult to connect him to any specific. He needs to be in every sphere.
Yeah.
Right? But sometimes you feel like if you're doing church work or if you're involved in church ministry, you're more connected. Mm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it feels like that. Mm-hmm. But he should be the same in the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I say the same, you're a Christian, you're living the Christian life wherever you are. But his presence should be just as real to you mm-hmm. as if you are in the sanctuary of your serving in ministry mm-hmm. or if you're on your job. Mm-hmm. You could still feel him, sense him, commune with him, mm-hmm. relate to him. If you're in community work, whatever it is, because sometimes in the busyness, I get at my end of the dinner, Lord, I don't remember communing with you here. And so I don't know if that's where you want me to be, because mm-hmm. I'm not feeling the same way in this environment mm-hmm. that I'm feeling in this environment. Mm-hmm. But he said to me in prayer and in thinking, I am everywhere with you.
Yeah, exactly.
I am mm-hmm. everywhere with you. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge me mm-hmm. in your heart mm-hmm. and when that I am there. Mm-hmm. So I start saying the scripture, because I have the Lord at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. I mean, he's near. He's mm-hmm. a very present help. And so I go with him wherever I am, and I'm being more aware mm-hmm. of his presence I go.
It has to do a lot with the motive, you know, Tamara, yeah. we're going to get into that in our next episode. It has to do with the motive. Why are you doing what you are doing? Yeah. Is it for your own self-glorification, or is it to glorify God and allow him mm-hmm. to lead you into different ministry and different sphere?
Yeah.
I am a vessel, and wherever you want to use me, God, use me. I'm not going to limit myself, but I want to be used of you. So our final scripture in Proverbs chapter 20 is verse 29. And it reads, the glory of young men is their strength, gray hair, the splendor of the old. Vanessa and Tamara, I believe that every generation brings something valuable. Mm-hmm. Every generation. Mm-hmm. Younger people, they bring energy and excitement and creativity, and the older generation offer wisdom that is gained through their experiences. Mm-hmm. How can then the different generations help each other grow?
Yeah, I think the word collaboration comes to mind mm-hmm. as I look at this question, because collaboration is the process of two or more people or groups, organizations working together to complete a task to achieve a desired goal. Mm-hmm. And in life, God knows that we need older people mm-hmm. and younger people working together to accomplish the will of God in our lives. Mm-hmm. The saying goes, the old man know the way.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but young man, I call you because you're strong.
Yes.
And so we need the young people and the old people working together. But oftentimes the old young people say, man, you done finished. Mm-hmm. Get out of the way. Mm-hmm. No, but not realizing you need the wisdom of the older generation to lead mm-hmm. you in different spheres of life.
Yes.
That's even in your home. You could see if your children didn't have the wisdom of parents, how they would be led astray. Mm-hmm. And even so with children, I am so grateful for my adult children mm-hmm. because I am not as tech savvy as I need to be. That's it. And child, they keep me up to date and they show me how to do things and I need them.
Yes.
I do need them. Mm-hmm. And we all need each other for different reasons. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I feel like there are some things that the Lord has put in place within our church life and community, families, and in a covenant way. And it's for the preservation, the proclamation, and the transmission of the faith. God never intended the Christian faith to begin again with every generation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. continuity is a passing mm-hmm. on of the faith. And God calls one generation to declare his works to the next. Psalm 145, 4. Mm-hmm. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. And so the older generation has a particular responsibility to remember and testify to the faithfulness of God. And their greatest contribution isn't just their life experience. Experience by itself doesn't necessarily produce biblical wisdom, you know. Their value is experience that has been shaped and interpreted by the word of God. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because we sometimes, when we reach adulthood, there are things we carry on from our parents mm-hmm. in some homes that are not necessarily, they may be good, but they're not necessarily biblically formed or biblical truth.
And sometimes they aren't good either.
You can't reach there yet. So that experience needs to be interpreted by the word of God. Mm-hmm. They can say to younger believers, I have walked with God mm-hmm. through suffering, through disappointment, through unanswered prayer, through loss, through provision, through correction, and through restoration. And his word
has kept me.
Mm-hmm. Okay? The mm-hmm. word, the power of the word.
Yeah.
And so that's what I believe, that kind of testimony the older ones need to leave to the younger ones.
And I don't think it's about competition.
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition mm-hmm. or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, mm-hmm. not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of the mm-hmm. other. See, when we can allow each other to grow together, whether you're young or old, when we allow wisdom to be in the midst, it helps us to learn from one another instead of assuming that we know everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what God wants with the generations, not a competition. Not stifling the growth of the young person so that you can sit in this position forever. And the young person not disregarding mm-hmm. the experience and the wisdom of the older person so that you can elevate sometimes even before the time is ready. God wants us to work together in partnership to fulfill his purpose
mm-hmm.
on earth. Tamara, close us out in prayer, please.
Yes, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word and for your grace that continues to transform us. Search our hearts, reveal our sin, and lead us to genuine repentance. By your Spirit, conform us more and more to the image of Christ. Teach us to trust your sovereign hand to forgive as we have been forgiven and to walk faithfully in the ordinary moments of life. Help each generation to encourage and strengthen the next, always pointing one another to Christ. Keep us humble, grounded in your word, and dependent upon your grace. May our lives bring glory to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.